thanks to the Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids Women's Health, we call this segment our All About Women, and looking to share information for women. And men, you need to listen as well. Kind of a serious topic to talk about today. We're actually going to talk about it now and then continue that conversation. And then we're now going to do a little blending into that, because ladies, I'm all about networking. You've been networking in the green room, and you both walk in together. So let's do this. Dr. Robin Hubbard, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Dr. Sandy Detman, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley.
All right, Sandy, you got a little time to stay for the next interview, too?
Absolutely.
Talk about boxing then. But until then, opioid drug use in young adults. And obviously, when we talk to an OBGYN, we wonder, why are we talking about this? But I know the use of prescription drugs is part of your job. So I'm going to kind of throw us all off, and Dr. Hubbard, introduce how you deal with this, and then I'm going to ask you the same question, Dr. Detman.
Well, I feel like my being a parent of twin 18-year-olds probably pulls at my heart a little stronger than even my position as a physician, which is crazy because I have so much power as a physician and as a prescriber of narcotics and opioids. But, you know, it's a huge rising crisis of young adults between 18 and 25 in particular. And if you look at the statistics and the data, like the death rates of using opioids has doubled like every year in the last several years, and it's just become a huge crisis. And I know we're hearing about it on the news, and we need to all take personal responsibility. So as a mom, I went through my medicine cabinet, I grabbed all my bottles, and I tossed them in the box that's at the police station in East Grand Rapids. There's always there, and you pull it down, it's like a mailbox, you toss your excess drugs. And, you know, I had a few Vicodin left from when my back went out, and my son had a few left from when his wisdom teeth were pulled, and they're just sitting there. And that's often how these kids get access to them, or they're prescribed through providers for originating pain source that turns into an addiction.
Dr. Sandy Detman, how do you deal in this world?
Well, Shelley, we're in the midst of the largest man-made epidemic in the history of the United States. And unfortunately, the symptoms of this disease are very unsavory. People who are addicted to drugs, they lie, they cheat, they steal, and they manipulate. That is the symptomatology of the disease. I maintain that if you get them into a program of recovery, maybe or maybe not using medication-assisted treatment, definitely using psychosocial interventions, if you take the drugs away, you have people. You have some of the finest people in the world. Addiction is a disease. That's not an excuse to say that the person is not responsible for controlling their disease. It's hard work, it's treatable, and there's good treatment available.
Dr. Hubbard, would you define what an opioid is?
Sure. So an opioid is a medication, a class of drugs that are used typically as pain relievers. And so they include medications like oxycodone, which you can also refer to as OxyContin, hydrocodone like Vicodin, codeine, morphine, fentanyl. And just for people to become aware, heroin is an illegal drug, but it's related to this category. And these are often bridging drugs to heroin addiction, which has very powerful addictive properties and very high mortality in its use.
And if I ask you, how does one get opioids in the first place? Dr. Hubbard, start with you.
So I prescribe opioids all the time because we use them for pain management. So I do surgery. And so after I perform a C-section or I do a hysterectomy or I do a bladder repair, I typically will give patients a combination of maybe ibuprofen or Motrin and some kind of a narcotic containing pain medication. Right now, either oxycodone or a Vicodin. And that is very appropriate. You have a big incision in your belly and it's painful, and this is a really good way to treat pain. I used it after I had my C-section for the twins. The problem is patients can very easily become addicted to it and then want to seek more. There's also patients that have chronic pain, which is not as much a part of my practice as an OBGYN, although I do have some, where it becomes an issue with, gosh, I have a chronic issue like endometriosis in my practice, which gives you chronic pelvic pain, or a bladder problem like interstitial cystitis that can give you chronic pain. How do you help those patients to feel better? Sometimes this pain medicine helps them feel better. You're like, okay, well, great, I'm doing something to help you, yes. Right? And so as a provider, you think this is great. I'm helping them feel better. But then all of a sudden, it kind of turns around and they can't get away from it.
And there's a fine line. I know one of your missions, Dr. Detman, is to educate physicians on this prescription.
Absolutely. Opioids are not meant for the long-term treatment of chronic pain. There is a place for the use of opioids, like Dr. Hubbard was saying, postoperatively. I mean, Shelley, if on the way home today, if I get in a car accident and my femur is hanging out of my leg, give me opioids and give me a lot of them, but stop them after my leg heals. People become physically, chemically dependent very quickly. And if their doctor then decides to cut them off, you can't just cut them off. You have to send them to someone like myself or another provider to get help. Otherwise, they end up buying prescription drugs on the street. And guess what's cheaper, Shelley? Heroin. 82.3% of today's heroin users started with prescription drugs.
You have the numbers for us. Dr. Hubbard, what's being done within the medical field to try to get a handle on this? I mean, obviously, to make sure abuse doesn't happen, if you can speak on behalf of your colleagues.
I mean, I think number one is education for physicians and providers. This was not something that I got a class on in medical school. I learned about the physiologic properties of medications and the pharmacology, but I didn't have a class on even addiction at all, really, back when I went to medical school, and I think we're in the same kind of generation.
Correct.
So a couple of things that are really more in the forefront and recent. So availability of naloxone or Narcan. Now, this is the anecdote, if you were, of opioids. And so these medications can immediately reverse the effects of an overdose. And we have started to do a good job of making them more available in the field. So for example, police officers, emergency medical providers, so you don't have to wait to get the patient to the emergency room, which might be the difference between life and death and somebody that's had an overdose. And so having that available has changed things. And I have my CPR recertification, every 2 years. And the gentleman who is a medic in the field, works in Wyoming, talks about how often he's using his naloxone. Like, it's amazing how much more he's doing that now than he was even 2, 4, 6 years ago. The other thing that's really important is Good Samaritan laws. So people are afraid when they're with their friend and they have drugs in their possession that are illegal and somebody's having an overdose, they're afraid to call 911 or they're afraid to take their friend to the emergency room because they don't want to be busted for drug use. So 37 states, I think, including Michigan, have Good Samaritan laws where you will not get penalized or have legal process against you for trying to help somebody who has an overdose. And then there's a CDC app for physicians out there listening that is called the Opioid Guide app, and it's helping providers to follow the CDC guidelines to be smarter in our usage, dispensing. How many do you dispense? You know, if somebody had this particular type of surgery, how many should you give them? Do you give them 20, 40, 60? Yes. Do you give them refill? You know, how does that work? And then there's also prescription drug monitoring programs, which started several years ago, where pharmacies can talk to each other. So somebody who's addicted can't go to Walgreens and then CVS and then D&W and get 3 different drugs without anybody knowing about it because they all talk to each other and that can be recognized.
Dr. Detman, you did a little cartwheel in the studio when Dr. Hubbard mentioned naproxen.
Yes.
The
naloxone.
Naloxone.
Correct.
Yes.
The studies are very clear. The more naloxone a community has available, the fewer people who die. You can get it here in Grand Rapids at the Grand Rapids Red Project. You just show up, you ask for it, and you get it, and it's completely free. In addition, you can walk into any Spartan Nash pharmacy in the entire state of Michigan now. That's D&W, Family Fair, VG's, and Forest Hills Foods. You go up to the pharmacist, you ask for an overdose prevention kit, no prescription necessary. You walk out with it. It's covered by most, if not all, commercial insurances, and it is 100% covered. That is, it's free with Medicaid. Go out there, save a life.
Dr. Hubbard, what are long-term issues of an opioid abuser? Again, we want to work on prevention and certainly early intervention, but what are the long-term issues of an abuser?
So it's interesting because when I was looking at the data, you know, focusing on this age group of 18 to 25, which is so escalated in its use and death rate, a lot of them will start using it illegally because they think it might help them focus or study or give them a nice high or euphoria that they can't get with other substances. And so it starts off kind of innocent, but then because it's so addictive and so powerful, then all of a sudden you crave it, you need it. So things to look for would be, like, just in terms of somebody that may have an overdose or may be on it, would be marked sedation or marked euphoria, pinpoint pupils, shallow breathing, not being able to stay coherent or conscious. You know, a lot of it's similar to using other drugs or alcohol. But then long-term effects can include weakened immune system or severe gastric problems where you can have really bad constipation, but perforation of bowel and bowel obstruction and lots of different medical issues if you're intravenously using it. So this is where the heroin comes in. Disease transmission. So HIV, hepatitis C are transmitted by sharing needles, and then just abscesses and blood clots and other things that are really scary. And death is usually from an unintended overdose. And there is, you know, drugs out there that you buy in the street that are laced with other things and you're not aware of it and you're using your normal amount and all of a sudden you're not aware. Like, it's not necessarily a suicide attempt, but people die and they didn't intend to die, but they do as a result of these really powerful drugs.
Dr. Dittman, I know we're going to keep you after the news, so stand by for my ask to you regarding how you treat. Dr. Hubbard, final question to you before I ask how we get in touch. I mean, what does this mean for you? How do you, for your patients? Your patients are
young
mothers.
So I think education, education of my patients about, I'm giving you this prescription for a narcotic and let's talk about it. It can be powerful, but this is why I'm giving it to you and it's appropriate. Also, hey, when you're done with it, will you dispose of it properly? That doesn't mean flush it down the toilet. That means take it to a drug disposal location. Don't leave it around for your teenagers to have access to and find. And it may not even be, I mean, my teenagers are good kids, but their friends might sneak into my medicine cabinet. You know, you just don't know. And the DEA has on their website authorized drug collection places, so you can look that up. I know East Grand Rapids Police Station, it's just sitting right there. You walk in the front door, you don't even have to talk to anybody. You drop it in the little mailbox thing and you're done. So, yeah. And then the CDC, as usual, has lots of really good websites, but there's also the HazeldenBettyFord.org, which has really good information about opioid use.
And how do we find out more information about Grand Rapids Women's Health?
So GrandRapidsWomen'sHealth.com or 588-1200.
So 18 years ago, you still remember the pain from that cesarean session?
Yes, I do. But I have to say it felt better to not have twin babies in my belly anymore.
Dr. Robin Hubbard, thank you. Grand Rapids Women's Health are all about women. Again, Dr. Dittman, we'll talk more about you after news. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shelley.